I found myself obsessing about this whole thing at like 4 o'clock this morning as I'm like trying to like get stuff together to actually make it up here. Wasn't originally going to stay overnight, but things changed. Anyway, so at like 4 o'clock this morning, I'm like still wide awake, obsessing over like having to speak. Because I do it all the time, unless you just give me an hour notice, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, I will completely obsess over what I'm going to say. You know? And I'll sit there and I'll plan everything in my head, and I'll be like, I'm going to say this and this and this and this, because it's like, these are all the things that I've heard that are so good, but yet they never seem to come out. Ever. Because I get wrapped up in something else, you know. I get wrapped up in what's supposed to be coming out, you know, supposed to be said, instead of what I'm actually want to say. My clean date is 8/1/04, so I just got a little over 3 years clean. And it's been pretty wild. You know, at first I thought to myself, I don't have much to say on, you know, relapse and recovery. I mean, yeah, I do know a little bit about recovery, the tiniest bit about recovery. And then I was like, I don't know that much about relapse because I, you know, in my mind, like, I didn't relapse because I never worked a program. You know, from the moment I started working your program, I didn't have that overwhelming obsession and compulsion. I still had the obsession and compulsion. It just wasn't overwhelming. You know? But it was still there. You know? But I started working this program and I realized that things were a little bit easier. You know? The relapse part, the part where I say, like, I don't think, in my mind, like, I never relapsed. Because in order for me to go back to what I used to do, I had to be at a different point. And I never got to a different point. I just stopped using. 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever. You know? And still, one of my biggest laments whenever I first came in here, like now, is I refused to pick up a 24-hour key tag. Because I wasn't doing this program because I wasn't an addict. I had no problems whatsoever. I was fine. You know, I was just here to, you know, I just go to meetings to drink coffee and have someplace warm to hang out for a while. And a friend of mine wouldn't take me home on cold nights, and she'd be like, I'm going to a meeting. I'm like, take me home first. No, you have to go with me. I'll be late. All right. I go to the meeting, sit there, drink a cup of coffee. Barely listen to what was actually said, you know, but somewhere over the course of the time of me going to these meetings here, there, you know, this month, next month, you know, go to one meeting here, go to a meeting next week, something struck me. Can't tell you when. I can't tell you what it was. I'm not sure. But that was my coming to the realization that I was an addict. I had a problem, and I needed help. And me, I have to do things my own way, you know. I was like, all right, I have a problem. I can stop using drugs. All on my own, I'll be okay. Well, I wasn't, because I still continued to use. You know, I just kept telling myself, well, I'm not using as much, or I'm not using the same things. You know, I would go to meetings, but I'd be clean all day. I'd be clean for a couple days. I'd go to a meeting, and as soon as I left the meeting, I would go get high. You know, and the minute I would get in the vehicle, get back in the car, I was getting ready to get high. You know, the second. But I wasn't working your program. So that's where my whole idea of, like, my whole idea of relapse to me was working a program, you know, to me is working a program stopping working that program, falling short somewhere, not doing what I needed to do in order to maintain or get better, in order to continue to recover. You know, I stopped somewhere. You know, relapse is stopping somewhere. You know, and I have found myself that if I'm not getting better, if I'm not recovering, even though I am in a program of recovery, I'm beginning to downward into a relapse because I'm getting worse again. You know, it just, you know, but from the moment I started working a program, from the moment I picked up a phone and called somebody in this program, got a sponsor, started listening at meetings even, you know, I haven't had that obsession and compulsion, and I haven't felt myself like really into a relapse mode for drugs. Now, for other things, yes, because, you know, I'm an extremist. I have to. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, I still have the obsession and compulsion to, you know, for whatever, but some things are better. It's recovery. It's a process, and, you know, I'm going through mine. But I was like, I kept saying, I can say a lot of things about recovery and how much NA has done for me, you know, because see, without NA, I wouldn't be alive. I would probably, you know, because whenever I started working the program, I was already spiritually and emotionally dead. I only had one more death to die. You know, my physical death. But I found this program, you know. I wasn't one willing to go do rehabs. I wasn't willing to go to, you know, I wasn't willing to go do any of that stuff. It was either this program was going to work for me or I was going to die. Those were my two choices. Because NA ended up being my only option for me. You know, I had a friend, my friend told me, stopped me at 4 o'clock this morning. A friend of mine stopped me when I was obsessing at 4 o'clock this morning. And thank God for people in the program. She stopped me from obsessing over what I was going to say today. And she said to me, she looked at me and she said, take a deep breath. I forget about it. Just for a little bit. And I was going a little crazy about, about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, stuff. You know, when, like, right about the time it was supposed to come up for me to speak. And I was like, okay, all right, God, let's go. Because that's all I know to do. You know, I rely on my higher power. You know, to get through these things. To get through a day. A minute. You know, sometimes, you know, but my recovery has taught me that. And, you know, my recovery includes, you know, working with a sponsor, working the 12 steps, you know. I'm up here, I'm roasting to death. I don't know. We were talking how nice it would be outside and speak. I was like, yeah, I'll get eaten by bugs to speak right at this point. But I came in
here
not an addict. Somewhere along the line I became an addict. I just didn't know I was when I came in. You know. And I've done this program, you know, with a lot of support in here, you know, in the rooms. You know, not very little support from outside of the rooms. You know, So, like, every day of my life, I'm, like, totally, like, immersed in recovery because, I don't know, like, I have my family and stuff, but not one of, I have one friend that's not inside these rooms. One. You know. My recovery, you know, the recovery part of this for me has been coming back from what I used to be. The things I used to do were, you know, the same lying, cheating, stealing, you know, the things we've all done. You know, I just didn't recognize them as being part of a disease, as part of an addiction. You know, those were outside of my drug usage. Because I had a job that I used the month that I got a paycheck for. I had a good job that I got a paycheck for, that I bought my drugs with, that I used. But I wasn't able to pay any of my bills, put gas in my car, or any of these other things. So I lied and manipulated and stole for those things. To me, an addict, you know, was robbing the house next door. I didn't do that. You know, I didn't rob my neighbors. I couldn't rob my neighbors. My parents would have found out. It's funny because, like, people laugh about this, but it's funny because, like, I have a lot of people ask me how I did this. My family doesn't know I'm an addict. My family does not know I am in recovery. They don't even know I ever used drugs. They know I've drank. They know I've been drunk. But that's acceptable in my family. You know, as long as you're not doing it every day, all day. You know. It's okay to drink and get drunk. That's fine. Don't you dare pick up a drug. I have never informed my family of the fact that I am an addict. I don't know how they don't know. But they don't. So, I've done this. I came in. I wasn't forced into this. My friends weren't forcing me. My family didn't know. So they couldn't force me into this. This is something I had to do on my own for myself. You know, that's what I started out thinking. I'm no longer on my own. I have a bunch of faces sitting here looking at me. Because somewhere along the line, I realized that I am not by myself. Yeah. I don't know how many people are at this retreat. But I am with them. And they are with me. You know. My addiction is no great story. I used drugs, I got high. I did a lot of stupid things. My current recovery, to me, is the great story. It's the sitting down with my sponsor and my sponsees and working steps and watching how they grow, and how, especially my sponsees, you know, it's being involved in service and being able to give back. You know, that's my recovery. My recovery comes from, you know, giving back everything and more that was given to me, because I can't give back my life. My life was given to me. It's given back to me through this program. I can't give that back. I can give my time. I can give money. I can give service. I can give all of that back. You know, the only thing I can't give back is my life. You know, thank you. You know, I just sat through, we do recover. We sat through two speakers and we do recover. And we do. It was one of the hardest things I had to learn. Because I wasn't alone. That has been part of my recovery. Is learning that I have friends. That don't want my money. They don't want a bed to sleep in. They don't want. They want to know what they can help, they can give me. They want to know how they can help me. And I, in return, can do the same for them today. That's recovery speaking its loudest to me. You know, I must have read, you know, the recovery and relapse chapter in the basic text 100 times. I'll be damned if I can remember a word of it right now. But it's probably because that's not my message tonight. You know, because the one thing I've heard over and over again in the last 2 days is, I can't. We can. And I'm never alone. You know. And recovery for me speaks to all of that. You know, I can't just get up here and say what recovery is. I know a lot of what it isn't, though. I find out more and more every day what it is. I know it isn't doing the same old things over and over again. To me, that speaks to relapse. Because as long as I'm doing the same old stuff, I'm not getting any better. You know, I have a disease. We have a disease. And it's incurable. And it will kill me if I don't do something about it. So I have to come to meetings and, you know, and I get the bonus of a retreat every couple of months and then a convention and, you know, and I get to see how many people are enjoying and can enjoy and will enjoy the same benefits from this program and from recovery that I am enjoying, have enjoyed, and will enjoy in the future, hopefully, as long as my God is willing. You know, this program to me, you know, I've always had a problem with, you know, smarter than everybody. Well, I found the one thing that can speak to my heart. This program speaks to my heart. Because I sit here and I think, I'm too smart for these people. I have a problem with, you know, that's one of my defects of character. I think I'm smarter than people. I used to make myself feel stupid so that I fit in with the people that I fit in with. And I can sit here and identify with everyone in this room, though. On some level. You know, but this program doesn't speak to my head. It speaks to my heart. Because it was never my head that hurt, you know, metaphorically hurt, whatever. It was always my heart. It was always that pain, that gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching pain that I couldn't seem to get rid of. You know, I could shut my brain down, but I couldn't shut everything else down. you know. I put down the drug. And everything just, I start feeling and stuff, and the pain was even worse. I found something that can speak to my heart, though, on every level. And it does speak to my mind. But I feel it so deeply. You know. My recovery, you know, is something I guard with every ounce of life in me. Because it is the one thing that has given me my life that I can throw away in a second, and that I could probably never get back. Well, I guard my recovery because it's something I don't want to give away, and that I don't have to worry about trying to get back. I know what it's like to feel the way I feel today. I don't want to feel what it feels like I was like three years ago, 3.5 years ago, whatever. I don't want to feel that way anymore. I want to continue to get better on a daily basis. Every day I want to do a little bit better than I did yesterday. I work my steps. I work with my sponsor. I do a lot of service. Because that's what gives me, I give back, but in return I get so much more back from doing simple acts of kindness for other people. And those are things I would have never, most of the stuff I do now I've never done in my act of addiction. Never. I want to continue to recover. I want to, through this program, I'm learning that I can be, and I am becoming, the person my family and I always thought I could become. I'm going beyond that. But I'm not doing it alone. People are coming with me. And I'm going with other people. This program has saved my life. And it's probably saved thousands of people out there between, millions. Because you know what? On any given night, there's people that I could have killed. There's people that have received the message of recovery in these rooms. It astounds me how many lives are saved just by one person sitting in a room, listening to somebody like me say something about recovery. And it's just simply amazing. And the only thing that I can say more about recovery is about being in recovery, anything. is I hope that one person hears one thing this whole weekend that will save their lives and the lives of everyone around them. That's all I have. Thank you.
I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Vernon. I'm sorry, I don't know what area you're from.
I'm an addict named Vernon.
Hi, Vernon.
Blessed by God to be here one more day. 12 and 12 for Life is my home group in Baltimore City. Long ride out here. I've been coming here for 10 years straight and I get lost every year. But that's okay, I get here every year. You know, I was honored to ask to do this meeting tonight, and as I was talking to John and some other people going in here, because this was a subject all the way up here with me and my sponsees. You know, because this is right where I feel they are, and I have them reading this, but they're not comprehending anything. To me, recovery and relapse is just like any other part of this program. It's a positive, negative situation, which is what this program is. You know, recovery is positive, relapse is negative. You know, we keep it simple in here so that you can understand and stay. Because if we complicate the shit out of it, you will leave. You know, because like we were sitting out on the porch talking, and the reality is that when you come in these doors and raise your hand and say, I need help, you're working all these steps. You admitted you were powerless. You were believing there was some kind of help to the insanity you were in. You were making a decision. You were taking an inventory of yourself. You were working up. You just don't know how the hell you were doing it. And if I try to explain it to you all at that time, you're going to go right back out there and do what you were doing. Because it's a lot simpler. So we try to keep it simple in order to keep you here. You know, the process in reading this, you know, when you read it in the book, recovery is a process. You know, it's the suggestions that are made when you come through this door if you don't want to use. If you're willing to go to any lengths not to use again, you will not use again. That plain and simple. You know, we only have one promise here. Promise from freedom from active addiction. It tells you right in this book that those of us who work this process, we do not know of anyone who's ever worked this process well, thoroughly, who is used. It don't happen. Because there's no day of time in your life for negative. Because this is a positive program. Positive. I was telling when I'm outside, I used to use a trick move on my sponsees with this book. And I would say, here, read this book, do everything that's in there, and you're not going to use again. And they would read this book and go use and come back and say, I've read everything and I did everything in there and I used. I said, no, you didn't, because it tells you in there you must not use. Take that shit and throw it away. Catch 22. You know, the process in here, as it tells us in the process of recovery, is to come through these doors, is to take suggestions. The suggestions are to get attached, to get a relationship, okay, to pick a sponsor, to go to meetings, to get a home group, to get involved. Do these things, and you will not use. Work the steps, you know. If you're willing to do these things, willingness is what keeps you here. Nothing else but your willingness. You know, it starts out with the bottom line, the first step, I don't want to get high no more, so I'm willing to come here not to get high. And it ends up being I am willing to do God's will instead of my will to stay clean. You know, because that's the process. You know, the process in the first step when we walk in here and say we were powerless over addiction because it had made our life unmanageable. And no matter what you talk about in this book, believe me, you will go back to the steps if you're talking about anything in this book, because the program is the steps. If you don't want to do the steps, go to hell out there and use, because you're not going to get this. It's a 12-step program for people who want to work 12 steps. If you don't want to work 12 steps, you can be clean and miserable for a while, but you will use again. In the process of the first step, it admitting your powerless over your addiction, over the drugs. And it's simple because the unmanageability brought you in here and you know drugs whipped your ass. But when you came in here and you admitted that powerlessness, guess what? You just got power. Positive, negative. You got to admit you're powerless to get the power. What power do you get? You get the power to say, I'm not going to use no more. You get the power to say, I will do what's suggested. You get the power to follow directions if it is what you want to do. If it's not what you want, you're not going to get it. It tells you in this book. We cannot hit you with a NA stick or none of that shit. You got to work this program to get what we have. Now the thing is, do you want it? You know, after a while being here, it talks about the foundation. And the foundation, they claim, is the first three steps. Admitting you're powerless and accepting the fact that you're powerless. I make it easy for my sponsees. I tell them the first three steps, just something easy for me, is about honesty, acceptance, and surrender. You know, first thing you have to do when you come in here is you have to get honest. You have to get honest with everybody you talk to. Main thing you got to do is get honest with yourself. Because if you're honest with yourself, you won't lie to other people. You know, you find out, you can remember back in your childhood that, you know, I can always remember my mother telling me, why are you lying? If you tell me a lie, you got to tell me another damn lie. You got to lie on top of a lie. How true that is. I didn't realize it until I found out through addiction and through lying constantly that that's what you have to do, lie constantly. You know. And the second step, what I came to believe, I mean, I had to believe this was working. You know, I was making choices that were right. And I didn't say decisions, I said choices. Because I wasn't allowed to make any decisions. My sponsor told me, I don't even want you thinking if you can help it. And when you do, call me up and tell me what you're thinking. Because your thinking stinks. You know? And I would call him up and I would talk to him about everything that I thought I had this big thing. And he would tell me and we would talk. And all of a sudden, the decision I was having to make became a choice. You know, because I had another body, another view. Another way of doing things. And usually his way was the right way and my way was the wrong way. And in early recovery, that's what it is. Because we're sick. We come in here sick. This process makes us better, but it is a process. It gets better as it goes on. It takes some time. And the third step, I very simply had to make my first decision. And now I'm calm. Now I'm confused, so I got to call my sponsor again. And I call him a lot because I thought I was dumb, and really I was just an addict. And I asked him, "How come now this has got to be my decision?" He said, "It's got to be your God. It's Vernon's God. My God is my God." I told my sponsors, "You can't have him. Get your own." Because the fact is, the God of my understanding is something I believe in. And if I believe in it, I will do it on a daily basis. If I try to believe in yours, I ain't going to do it on a daily basis because maybe I don't like some of your God stuff. But I do believe in everything that the God of my understanding tells me to do. And so I will do it on a daily basis. And for that reason, my recovery grows. It grows constantly. You know, the process of this book is a guide to get you there. You know, relapse, this is a big debate. We were doing it outside. We all have different theories on relapse. To me, a person who relapses is a person who has changed. To some people, a person who relapses is a person who uses again. But in my thoughts, I remember my relapses. When I did them, I don't ever remember telling anyone that I was using with that I relapsed. I just told them I wasn't using and now I'm using again. I didn't bring this word in there because to me it was a positive word that didn't belong in a negative situation. So I look at a relapse as a word that goes with a foundation. So that foundation to me, I believe, is when you learn to change. So I get sponsees, and I only do this because I get sponsees, and I have a lot of them. I have 10 recovery houses. I have a lot of guys ask me to sponsor them, and I have sponsees, and they will go out, and they will use, and they will come back. And they will say, I'm going to do the right thing, and they will do this, and do that, and do this, and they will go use again. But they practice nothing. They don't do anything. You know, you can sit down and do all these steps with your sponsor. Go through them all and say, okay, you did it. Now let's go to step two and what's your understanding of this. But if you don't live it, you're getting nowhere. You're not in the process. That was in here. Excuse me. You must be in the process. You know, relapse. No one that we know of has ever relapsed who works this process. When you take this process and change it to fit you, you're taking a chance of relapsing. You know, my process tells me that I have to work all these steps with my sponsor to learn how to live them in my life. I did that a number of times. And it goes on further than that because it never ends. I'm on the board of directors for the Free State Convention. I have 12 recovery houses. I still do have a family in there. You know, balance is another story altogether. But learning how to do this and learning how to live this is what keeps me clean. It's what keeps me in the recovery mode. If I stop doing this, I am setting myself up for what this says. Complacency, isolation, my own thinking. You know, because if I don't keep feeding positive things in, the negative shit rolls in. You just said it. You know, if you're not constantly going forward, God damn it, you're going backwards. Because there's nowhere in this book does it tell you time to take a rest. This book is all about a process, an ongoing process of recovery, which is constant improvement. Constantly improving your spiritual contact with the God of your understanding. You know, if you don't do that, you know, why do you want to be here? You know, I know people that are here, people that are miserable, and they're here. I mean, I actually heard a girl speak that I, you know, she is one of the people that I've watched in the rooms, 18 years clean. And I went to her anniversary, and she's talking about all the turmoil in her life and this and that and this. And she says, and I know it's because I'm still on my 10th step. 18 years! Still on the 10th step. Leaving out what? Leaving out, I sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. This is the biggest God step in the program. This is where you actually get a personal contact, where you learn how to have God at your hand at all times. You know, the 12th step, having that spiritual awakening and helping other addicts. She's not there yet. In 18 years, why is she miserable? We talked after the meeting, and we sat down and we had a long talk, and she said, I definitely need to get this done, don't I? You know, and hopefully she's working on that. You know, because what she is doing is she's setting herself up to use again. And some of us don't think we will. It tells us in here. Some of us get in that mode. Some of us think we're exempt. Some of us sit back and just stop doing what we're doing. You know, I'm not going to use. I know I'm not going to use. I haven't used for so long. I never put that shit in there. You know, I have 10 years clean. And I pray for 10 years and a day. Because there's always that possibility. I never know when. Do I feel that I'm going to use? No, because I'm in the process. Would I know I'm going to use? Should I isolate? Probably. And I'd hope there would be help for me. You know. What I, you know, I've learned, like me and John were talking about, that this comes through a process too. It's just a reverse process. It's a reverse process. You know, lately I've been getting back down on my knees to pray because I stopped doing that for a while and I started feeling funny about it. So I don't care. You know, I would come up here like every year and I wouldn't dare get on my knees because the guys might see me. Stupid stuff like that. You know, that's all me. Today it doesn't matter. I get on my knees because I know that if I don't get on my knees and I don't pray, I will sooner or later forget to pray before I go to sleep. And sooner or later I will forget to pray. And sooner or later I will get sick as hell. I will lose it spiritually. I will lose it mentally. And the only thing I'm waiting for is to physically fuck up and kill myself again. I can't go there. I can see that process. You know, through working these steps, I know that should I lose it in that area, you know, I need to do what I was told. I need to go back and think. I need to pray. I need to pick up a telephone. I need to tell myself. I need to stay honest. First principle, do not lose it. Honesty is one of the... huge. If you can stay honest, you can stay clean. Just tell on yourself every time anything happens that you feel is jeopardizing you, making you feel bad. Talk to people. Tell people. You know, it will keep you clean. It will make you feel better. What did you come here for? I came here over 10 years ago to feel better. Well, I want to keep feeling better. I don't want to go back there. I can remember that. I do think about that. Sometimes I sit there because I deal with a lot of relapses and a lot of people relapsing, and I go, God, I just don't want to go there. I remember it. You know, I remember how destitute I was the day I prayed and asked God to help me. You know, the day I went to the homeless shelter and I started this process, I remember what I felt like, how bad it was. I don't want that. You know, they say this is work. That was work. That was work. The obsessive compulsive nature of addiction was constant goddamn work. From the minute I woke up and worried, where was I going to get the money to get high? Who was going to take me over the damn road to cop? Who was going to let me get off at their house? How much of my shit was I going to have to give them? And where am I going to get some more money to go do that shit again? All day long. That was work. This is easy. This is easy. Now I answer a few questions a day, read a paragraph a day. I can do this. It's a lot easier. Is life easier? No. Life becomes a bitch. Because all of a sudden, you get to feel all them things you've been running for all those years. You know, I tell guys, they go out and use. Why did you use? Because the old lady wants a support payment, and I ain't got the support payment, and all that. I say, oh, so you got high. You got the support payment now? Still ain't got it? That's some crazy shit. What'd you go out and use for? If it didn't fix nothing, what the hell did you do it for? You know, the fact is that as long as you keep doing the right thing, you'll get through that. You know, God is with you. God will provide for you. I've went through some fears, you know, and I mean, just scared to death. But because of this program, because of learning that when I have fear, I need faith, and knowing through working that triangle, the positive aspects, I can do that today. I can take things that scare me to death, and I can have faith that it'll work. You know, I pick up people, I pick up phones and talk to people. I tell them the problem. I get suggestions. You know, if it comes down the pike and it happens and I don't get whatever I wanted, okay, it'll work. I have faith. You know, as long as I stay clean, it'll work. Because what I really know is that if I use it, none of it matters. I will get none of it. You know, it's an absolute negative that I'm not willing to do. You know, our addiction was all about the negative things. Our recovery is all about the positive things. If you want to have a positive life and love living every day, get up in the morning. I mean, my problem now getting up in the morning is, what the hell time do I have to get to work? How late can I be getting to the car lot? You know? How many people are going to call me and bother me today from the recovery houses? Tough shit. Hard day, ain't it? Beats the hell out of what I did when I was using. And I look at that now. What do I want? I want this. What do I have to do? I have to keep doing what I'm told to do. Stay in the process of recovery. The process of recovery is doing the next right thing. That's all. Just keep doing it. Keep continuing it. Keep helping other people. Keep caring about other people. You know, learn how to live life on life's terms. You know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. There's ups, there's downs. But if you don't use, you'll get through it. Things will get better. You may not have a new car this year, but maybe you'll have one next year. Keep driving your junker. You know, we talk about material things in here and recovery. You know, a lot of guys in recovery talk about material things. It's all about material things. To me, it wasn't about material things, but I don't tell sponsees not to try to get material things because it's the rewards of staying clean. It's the rewards of staying clean. You know, as long as it's the right thing. You know, if you want to buy a Porsche, and you make $250 a week, that's wrong. You know, if you want to go buy a Chevrolet Cavalier, maybe that's okay. You know, because what we are is we're addicts. And what we want is more. Okay, I got a particular incident, and that's my son, who, for some reason, has to have the big home, the Porsche, the Mercedes, all of these things he has. All he has to do now is figure out how to pay for them. You know, because we get in here, things get better. You'll be off of credit cards and all that good shit. We really work on your addiction. That addiction comes at you in a lot of ways. You know, you get these credit cards and all of a sudden you're doing bankruptcy. Because you didn't know how to handle them. Because we're addicts and we want more. We always want more. You know, the process of recovery tells us that we take things as we need them. You know, and that's only to keep you from wearing your ass out with wants. Because we want everything. And we don't know when it's... And there's nothing that we do that feels good that we don't want to do to the extreme. Nothing. We're addicts. I can tell you right now, When I was on my ice cream binge, I used to get mad when my grandchildren went after my ice cream. That's my goddamn ice cream. They're 4 and 5 years old. How much can they eat out of this gallon? But that's mine. You know, no matter what it is, you know, we just want more. If it feels good, we want more. Go try it. You know, relationships, more. Sex, more. Gambling, more. Whatever it is, we want more. We always want more. There's never enough. There's never enough. No matter how much of it you get, there isn't enough. God, there is not enough on earth to fill us up. You can go out there and say, I finally made it, and I finally got me a place to live. I got me a little car. And then I want to buy a house, and I want a bigger car. And I want a bigger house, and I want a Porsche. You know, this shit keeps growing because we want more. We can't stop. We can't sit here and say, this is enough. You know, if we're acting out on our addiction. You know, if you're living the process and doing it the right way and you're accepting what you need and not what you want, it makes it a lot easier around here. I can make my life really hard if I did what I wanted. You know, I prefer to just take what I need. You know, when God sees fit to allow me to be able to get my needs, I'm happy. Because my needs are my needs. You know, and I say God allows me because if I want to own a home and I get a job to pay for it, I'm doing the work. And I'm getting it, but God has given it to me because it's only because of Him I got a job. That I'm doing the right thing. Because through this process, through this recovery process, I've learned that God's will keep me on the right path and give me everything I could possibly need in life. Beyond my wildest dreams, life comes true. You know, and I love it. You know, one thing I heard here years ago, and I'll end with this. Mark said this, and I don't usually give him credit for it, was about 5 years ago. He said, but what we are is we are the nobodies that God made somebody to tell everybody you don't have to use anymore. Thank you for letting me share.